Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance
Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. We're off to the good start for a new year, and we appreciate and thank you, folks, for being here to help us to do that. We do have a few absences this morning for various reasons. We'll share with you a little later. But we're glad you're here. It's a beautiful, sunshiny day to start the year off good. And you're here this morning to start your year off good. And pretty soon we'll find out how many was here and had perfect attendance last year. There were several, I think, and we'll look at that. But you're here and off to a good start, and hope that things will go well and that you'll be able to be here and just praise the Lord every Lord's day with us. Welcome. I'm going to share with you from Psalms 113. Reads like this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O you the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord for this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above all heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven, and in the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be joyful mother of the children. Praise ye the Lord. That's what we're going to do in it. Let's praise him together.
For him of worship this morning, I'm going to use number 434, first and third verse, and Benny will have her prayer. It's awesome.
Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow, follow on. Walking in his footsteps till the ground is gone. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on. Now that we are upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior would my soul ever be. He will lead me safely in the paths that he has trod, up the Lord, the gather and the hills of God. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on.
Amen. Let us pray together. Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we're so very, very thankful, dear God, that you've blessed us throughout this past week, provided it for us well, and you've made it possible for us once again to come together as a church family. We thank you for that, for that, dear God. And we're here, Heavenly Father, we want to not only thank you and praise you for your goodness, we want to honor you, dear God, and we want to lift up Jesus, our wonderful Savior. We're so thankful, people, for the people gathered here this morning, their love for you and their desire to serve you and their desire to have you to work in their lives, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful that you do so good for our church family, Heavenly Father. You minister to us when we need it, and you provide for us when we need it, Heavenly Father, and you're just so good. And so, Heavenly Father, with this service, we pray that you'll take this service. We want to dedicate it to worship and honor and thanking you and your wonderful Son and our Savior, in whose name we praise you and thank you. Amen.
Now for communion hymn, we use number 234, singing the first and last verse.
I will sing the wonder story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing.
Several things to share with you here this morning that I want you to be mindful of and to think about and actually to pray about. Thank you, folks, for being here Friday night. We had a good Friday night meeting, and thanks to the folks who cleaned the place up, took down the decorations and put them away, and did all the work there while some of us were playing, and we thank you for that. Thank you for all the things that you did and so forth through the holiday season and the end of the year and so forth. We appreciate your labor here. Tonight, at 5 o'clock, we're going to try to get underway. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, we're going to try to get underway with the Sunday night Bible study. What we're talking about is right now is some methods and some ways and some of sharing the gospel with people of the community, witness to people who do not know Jesus and really needs to know. And we need to be a full force at doing that. So if you haven't been joining us, we invite you to come and be a part of that. You surely will get an idea or two from it that might help you in your Christian witnessing. We Doodle and I thought today we was going to get to sing happy birthday to Robert. We thought Robert's birthday was today, but it's tomorrow. And if you'll look tomorrow evening on the internet, you will see him getting sang to in a real way. Amen. But happy birthday to you, Robert, anyway. Okay, what else is taking place? Okay, let's turn to our prayer list. And several we want to make mentions of here this morning. Pauline got word from her. She's had a couple of good night rest. She hasn't been able to rest. I'm talking to her several times, and she hasn't been able to rest well. And so we're glad that Doodle was telling she had the last couple of nights. She's had pretty good rest. So we're thankful for that. And then we see Fanny and Wayne are not here this morning. Fanny was sick last week, and she had viruses, a lot of you folks and other folks have had, but they're not here this morning because they're going to attend a funeral, I believe it is, after a while, and so forth. So be in prayer for them. Let's see, who else is missing here this morning? Okay.
Virginia.
Oh, yeah, Virginia. She wasn't here last week. She had a virus last week? No?
She had family last week.
Okay, she had family last week, sinus this week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. I got a note from her last week, and I thought she was doing well. But hopefully she will. All right. As we look at our prayer list, let me first of all tell you, I got a text, and maybe you did this morning. How many of you got a text from the preacher over to Minersville? Anybody? Okay. This Thursday, he says, at 6 o'clock, my wife Lynn is scheduled for a heart cath at Baptist Health. She has been and still is having issues with chest pains, shortness of breath, and with the heart, and gets very weak when with the slightest exercise. It will take about 4 to 6 hours, and if they do a stent, well, she'll have to stay overnight. So he solicits our prayers, and I texted him back, and I said, the Porter Church family will be praying for you and with you until we find or get word that all is well. So be in prayer for them. Angela's niece that we mentioned a few weeks ago that is on our prayer list here, Katrina Hall, in the morning at 5 o'clock, she has to be there. She's going to have an operation on her brain, a very tedious operation. So in the morning, and let's pray her up and things go well for her tomorrow. We did get word this morning that Tom Sullivan, who is Donna's nephew, went under operation last week. We shared with you and had two stents, three?
Four.
Oh, finally ended up with four. All right. Anyhow, he's doing good and out and doing good. And so we continue to pray that those things will go well. Who else? Otherwise, on our prayer list, everybody's running about the same, I suppose. Haven't got any reports back from any of the others. But, Billy Wilson, if you notice, he's on there again. And for you folks who might not know, Billy and them got to Florida, and he's had a stroke. And so he's not, so we don't know full of what's going on there, but we do know that we need to pray for him. And who else is on here that? I just don't want to go on here and pick out and say, well, they're special people or not, because all these people on our list are special to us in our prayers. Yes, ma'am.
Chandler Link, our young man that's been at UK Hospital since before Christmas, they tried one thing after another, and he's not getting any better, and he just keeps losing weight. He's probably lost about 30 pounds now, and no matter what they're trying with him, it's not helping. So he has autism really bad, and they're trying to figure out how he can do this. Since he's 21, he don't qualify as a child anymore. So they won't sedate him to put him to sleep to reset his brain to work like it's supposed, like they do with young children. They can't get approval to do that for him. So they've been trying one cancer treatment drug after another, trying to help him, but nothing's working with his brain.
Okay. Again, just go down your list there and all those folks, and we've shared with you in times past what's taking place in their lives and so forth. We just continue to pray that good things work. God works good things for you. Yeah.
Jerry's brother passed away.
Oh, he did? We didn't know that. When did that?
New Year's Day.
Oh, well, I wish we'd known that. I'm sorry to hear.
We got another.
Billy Lawrence, my nephew, passed away.
Wow. So, we have very, very, very much then to pray for. Thanks for sharing. I mean, I didn't know that, and I wish we had known that. But, sorry to hear that. Our people are people who care for other people, hospitals, nurses, doctors, those who care for the care home people, our service people. We are reading now, I believe I read, if I read right, that they have called up some of our people. We may be into a little, some type of a conflict that I hope not, that we just pray for our service people that we won't be losing lives there. Pray for each other, pray for our church family. Look around you and know which ones are not here and know what's going on and just continue to pray for them that God will work wonderful things in their lives. God is so good. We have experienced wonderful, wonderful things, and he'll continue to do that.
Now, four prayer hymn is number 196, first and last verse, and Jerry will have a prayer. Let's all stand.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all our will, trust and obey. Trust and
songs praise to you. We thank you for the blessings that you allowed us to have all this past week and this past year. We're starting a new year. We pray that everything will be even better. Be with my family, Father. Going through some troubling times. We know he's in a better place. You've got him in your heaven now. Again, Father, forgive us where we do fail you for these things. We pray in your name.
Amen. Amen. Invitation hymn be number 378.
There's a lot of struggle going on, I think, with all of us. We're all fighting things. Personally, I am. But God's got me. God's got you all. And I didn't know I was going to sing today, so be with me. But we're going to try this out. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, and he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Isn't it wonderful that we can have that personal relationship with God, where we can talk independently with him? Thank you, Sierra and Michael. Thank you, choir, for your specials, and Kathleen, from week to week. Thank you very much. Back to the chapter 9 of the book of Luke, and you'll get tired of chapter 9 before we get through with it probably, because I'm using over and over and over some of the things there. And we'll get to many other parts of it before we're finished. It's really good for people who, and it's a great desire for people to follow Jesus. And that's what we ought to do, because Jesus asked us to do that. And we ought to be encouraged to follow him. And we read once again from verse 57 through 62, it reads like this. And it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto the Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And I told you last week we're going to go with that. Put your hand to the plow this year and do some plowing for the Lord. That is witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ and sharing with others the great good news. When I started a few weeks ago working on this, I didn't know and realize until I looked for some things that there was a plowing contest, that there is a champion plower here in America. And also they have this contest in other countries. And the U.S. has held it for many years. They have a plowing contest, and someone is awarded champion plower. And then over in the other parts of the country, they also participate. We have a fellow from Missouri by the name of Gene Gerber. He's 51 years of age, and he and his family, they have won the U.S. plowing championship 19 times. He has a daughter, 15 years of age, and she has ridden on his tractor since she was just a little tot. He made a seat for her on his tractor. And when she was 7 years old, she had her own tractor. And she's in the plowing contest. She has won the U.S. plowing championship. And she has participated in the national, in the other nations. And she has participated, and she came in sixth place. But Goober, Gene Gerber, he has the championship in when he was in Germany. Now, I wish I'd have known this before this year, because last year it was held in the, I got it down here. Where did I write it down? Missouri. Is it Burnett? Something like that, Missouri. It was held, and the people from Germany and places were coming over here. That was the first time that they'd had the world championship held on the American soil. And they were expecting in this little town of 1,000, the tourists were expecting 5,000. They were 60 people from other nations that had signed up to participate in it. And so that happened this spring of 2019. So it's a great big thing, and it's a real story for some of you folks that might be interested in. If you want to read a bunch of that, go on your computer and just put in there best plower, and it's a tremendous story about how, and I'll have some things in my sermon that are going along, because a lot of things in plowing has to do with the gospel spreading and so forth and what takes place. So we'll have some of those thoughts as we move along. Burdetta, Missouri is where that's held last year, and that's where these folks are from. And they have gone to great extremes and to participate in this and be champions that they are. But Luke 19 tells us, he's speaking of the people here. One fellow he chooses, he speaks right off. He said, I'll follow you anywhere. And then Jesus, the second fellow, he asked him to follow. He said, follow me. The third one says, I'll follow you, Lord. I'll follow you. You know, and I titled this, you know, following wholeheartedly. Because as I read this and study that little passage, these people really didn't have the heart in it. And I hate to say it, but I feel like there's a lot of people today that just don't have their heart in following Jesus. And we need to be wholeheartedly following Jesus if we're going to really experience the good life that he has for us and the wonderful things that he has and has done for us. We have to really put our heart into it. These people that won these plowing contests, boy, they put their heart into plowing. They really dedicated themselves, as we said last week about it. They really desired to win, and they dedicated to doing whatever possible to win. And Jesus is saying, you know, we should do whatever is possible in our lives to follow him. Let nothing else hinder us. Let nothing else take us away from that. And I'm not saying here, you know, as some people wants to use the rich young ruler, and they want to go in there and they say, well, no, Jesus demands, you know, you sell everything you got and come follow him. Jesus doesn't mean that for everybody. That's not what Jesus, you know, if he did, it would rule out, you know, where he wants to really bless us, isn't it? Jesus says he wants to bless us. He wants to bless us with good things. He wants to bless us with good food. He wants to bless us with good homes. He wants to bless us with goodness in this life. But he wants us to follow him. But when those good things get in our way of following him, then we got to rethink ourselves. So I want to, this morning, I want to go back and look at this third man and talk a little bit and share some thoughts about him. Jesus knew, you know, that he was headed for, as we said last week, he's headed for Jerusalem, and it's going to be a while before he gets there, and that's why it says it's going to take us a while through this chapter, but it's going to take him a while because it's a good year before, as this writing here, before Jesus gets to Jerusalem, and he'll be crucified, and he'll raised from the tomb, and then he will ascend. And that has a lot to do with what he says there. So it's going to be a while, but he wants to teach. As we've seen back, as you read the first part of that chapter, you'll see him sending out his disciples. He wants to teach them lessons. He wants to teach them what to do, how to carry out his mission when he goes back. So he seeks out to us, and we listen to Jesus, and he wants to teach us what to do while he's gone. And some of this takes place here. So the danger that we face, you know, that he faced in Jerusalem, that he warns the disciples, we're not going to have an easy streak here. It's not going to be easy following him, but it's going to be blessed. You know, I'd rather be blessed and not easy than easy and not blessed. I don't know about you. But this morning I'd like to share some thoughts and hopefully challenge you here to this third man. And I'm going to use these one individually. I'm not going to go with all three of them at a time. One man has offered to follow. And second man, Jesus asked him to follow. And the third man just volunteers to follow. And he said, I'll follow you, but let me go first and bid farewell to my family. Now, that's not a bad request, is it? That Jesus is strictly making it very plain here that the commitment necessary to follow him, one must have the determination of a farmer plowing. He said that in that last line. And if you from the farm area realize and know the practice of plowing, and Jesus uses this, and so he's making it plain to him that you have to be committed to what you're doing if you're going to do a good job of it. And so to follow him, you must determine, as this farmer plowing his field, he must do it with all his might and always looking forward. One of the problems I think we have as Christians, we often want to look back. We're like the Israelites when we come out of Egypt, you know. They wanted to look back. And God said, you look forward. He says, I have this land. I'm going to take you from this bondage of Egypt. I'm going to take you. And he's talking about taking you straight to the promised land. And they could have got there in just a few days if they had listened to God. But it took them 40 years because of their disobedience and not listening and not following what God. Can you imagine what we might be missing not following Jesus wholeheartedly? It makes me wonder sometimes what I'm missing, what we're missing. And this man, he says, I'll follow you, but I want to go back. Friends, we don't have time to go back. We got a short time yet here on this earth, and we got to move on. And there's no turning back, no looking back, no going back. To plow straight forward, one must hold onto the handles tightly and looking straight forward. I've told you about our family many times. You probably get tired of hearing about my family. But anyhow, you remember I told you about there are seven of us boys, as a matter of fact. And we grew up on the farm, and several times we'd be plowing two or three of us boys, maybe a couple of us boys, and maybe Dad would be in the line. There'd be two or three of us at least in the same field plowing, one behind another. And my father taught me, he said, now, Benny, and he always put me in the front. I don't know why. But he said, don't look back to see what your brother's doing. You keep your eye on where you're going over there. Go so you can plow a straight line. I knew if we cut and covered and Daddy come along, boy, if he's in the line of that, we in trouble. We had to really keep our eye going straight forward. And I was the youngest of them that was worked in the field at that time. And I really, and not brightly or boastfully or complaining, I had to reach up to them handles on that plow. My daddy taught me a lot of things young about farming, and I enjoyed it. And I worked with him, and I could do those things. But anyhow, plowing, I had to reach up. And you know, walking in that fur and reaching up and trying to look through between a team of Belgian horses at a spot out there in the field and go straight because Daddy's back there and my brother's, I can't look back to see where he's at. I gotta concentrate on what I'm doing. And that's what it takes when we follow Jesus. We have to concentrate. Concentrate on what we're doing. I think too often we just get caught up in the fact that we just do and we don't concentrate on what we're doing. Sometimes we don't concentrate on what we're saying. And that's not too helpful. And so if we're going to follow Jesus, we need to concentrate what on he says, and we ought to concentrate on what we say. We ought to concentrate on what he did, and we ought to concentrate on what he wants us to do. Daddy taught us well, and Jesus taught us well if we'll listen. If we'll listen. If we'll follow. If we'll follow his instructions, we will do well. Jesus had a number of his disciples, and a number of times that Jesus told him, it won't be easy. It wasn't easy to hold them plows looking up between that team and spotting that out there. And Jesus told his disciples, there's going to be times it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It's not an easy thing to follow Jesus. He tells us, and we'll see that later on. Jesus told his disciples time after time that they would be persecuted, they would be made fun of, they would be harmed in different ways. They had to concentrate on what they were doing, though, and not worry about those things. Jesus said a man put into the hand of the plow, looking back, to toss to and fro, carried about with a slight of men. And every wind of doctrine would be like a ship at sea, tossed with the tempest and the wind and the waves back and forth. I can remember when my dad taught me how to plow. And if any of you fellas did it, and some of you did, and then, I mean, that plow could throw you around. And if you didn't hold it tight, Dad said you got to hold it tight and concentrate on what you're doing, or it'll throw you around. Jesus said, you know, if you don't concentrate on what you're doing, you're going to be like a ship. You're going to be tossed here and there. And you know what happens to a ship that gets tossed here and there? They become shipwrecked. And I hate to think of it, but you know what I think about lives today? And you can too, I'm sure. And you can probably come up with one or two or more lives that you've seen that has been tossed here and there, and they're shipwrecked. Their lives are completely wrecked because, as we said last week, they followed far off. Their lives were completely wrecked. I mentioned the little girl's name. Haley was Haley Goober's the little girl's name, 15 years old. And it reminded me, I remember watching The Rifleman. When we watched television quite often, and the kids and so forth, we'd watch Rifleman. But I remember watching Rifleman one time. And Bark went out into the barn, and he heard some ruffling in the hay up there. And long story short, he found out there was a lady up there with a son. And this lady was from royalty. I don't know how many of you have seen that and remember that phase or not. But she was from royalty, but she was wanting to get away. You know, I picture a lot of royal people, you know, sometimes, boy, they just like to get away from all that commotion and live a quieter life. And so she had run off, and there she was. So she stayed there with them for a while. And one day, the rifleman was plowing, and something come up, he had to leave. And so when he come back, what he saw, here this young royal lady, she was out there plowing. And she was going all kinds of ways, but she was plowing. I don't know, probably Judy might have plowed. Dear plow, Judy. Okay, Judy's plowed. figure skating, and maybe some of you other ladies have. But you see, what I'm saying there, not only men plow, but women plow. Young girl, she's plowing. And you know what I say here, you know, not only do men look back, but women look back. And you know what happened when we look back, and Jesus says, women as well as men, they've given excuses, and these are excuses here that were read about. They give excuses why they're not following Jesus. You women have had that. You have heard excuses from other women. I have heard excuses from women why they don't follow Jesus and don't plow too well. You know, it seems very reasonable for this man, though, to want to go back to see his family. Bid him farewell. It seems like a reasonable request. Could it be, though, that Jesus, knowing their hearts, which he did, and that's the way he answered them, Jesus probably knew that if he went back home and bid farewell to his family, they may well talk him out of coming and following him. They may remind him of some of the things there and just beg him to not go, and he wouldn't follow. So he saw the danger there of them going back and a possibility being talked out. So he said, no, come follow me. I don't know, and just think about this for a moment. I know my oldest brother, I've told you about him, and he was in the Navy. He used to own the Navy. You know some of those guys, don't you? That boy, they think they own the Navy. I used to think when I was a youngster and he came home, and I used to think he was a major of the Navy. But his last year, he was a recruiter, and he recruited all over Indiana. But I've read of recruiters that would go into schools and talk to the young senior fellas, and they would tell them young senior fellas how good it was, and they would tell them about all the perks they would get. They come and join Uncle Sam. But some of them found out that those recruiters wasn't telling them right. And some of the perks that they were promised wasn't too perky. And so it's very possible that this young man could have been talked out of it. Think about it this way. Here's a young fella. He goes down to the recruiting office and he signs up. And they say, yeah, we got a bus even today, and we're fixing to send out to camp. He said, you sign up and you can go today. And so he signs up, and like all the paperwork's done. He gets his uniforms, he gets all these things. He goes, and they said, now the bus is going to leave in about 30 minutes. And he said, won't you allow me to go home and say bye to my family? What do you think they would say? They say, you signed up. The bus is leaving. You got to be on it. And that's what Jesus really says. Kind of seems a little harsh, but not so. Jesus said, you signed up. The bus is gone. Get on. You know, let the others take care of the matters back there. He saw the danger of going back. Some preachers makes it seem like you become a Christian and all your troubles is gone. How rosy it is. Somebody has written a little poem about pie in the sky, you know. Says you do all these things, you live by hay, and when you get in the sky, you'll eat pie. You know, and so. But Jesus never promised pie in the sky to anybody. Never promised pie in the sky to anybody. Little poem goes like this. You will eat by and by in a glorious land above the sky. Work and pray, live on hay. You'll get pie in the sky when you die. That sounds about what some of the preachers say, don't they? Yeah. Jesus never promised pie in the sky. He says the labors are few. And if I could paraphrase another saying, he said, Jesus was saying, I must plow the fields while his, I must plow the fields of him that sent me while it's still day. For the night cometh when man can't plow. And that's a very true statement from Jesus. We need to do it now. There'll come a time when we won't be able to do it. Jesus was saying, I must work the works of my Father that sent me. And God has works for us. And Jesus has showed us and told us what to do. And we must do them now. You know, tomorrow may be too late. That person that you need to see today and share the gospel with might not be here tomorrow. And then on the other hand, you might not be here tomorrow. So we may not be able to work tomorrow. Don't put off your plowing till tomorrow. Plow today. Jesus is saying to you and me, he is saying the Porter Christian Church, we must work the works that God has for us to do now. We must grip the handles tightly. We must concentrate what we're doing. We must be busy spreading the gospel, telling people about the need to believe in Jesus, to repent, and to be conformed not to this world, but be transformed, the renewing of the mind, to be transformed by the renewing of the mind and the things that God has for us to do. Those are the things we need to be doing. So this morning, as I leave you with this morning, I visualize the story here coming to the Christian church here, to the Porter Church. And if we're going to be the church the Lord Jesus would have us to be, if we're going to follow Jesus, then we need not make excuses for not plowing. We need to plow some good furrows right down Porter Road. We could plow a streak down Salem Road over here. We ought to be plowing possibly up Indian Creek, sowing some good seed. I know we need to be plowing in this community. I know there is some places where we can plant some new seed. There's some new areas it needs to be plowed up and plant good seed. Down on Scotts Mill Road is a good example. I think there's more people moved in the last year or last 2 years on Scotts Mill than they have in the whole county. There's just a number of new people down there, and I've met several of them and left message on the doors of several of them, but we need to go back and plow some new ground, plant some new seed, and we need to be champion plowers. We need to learn and how to turn that soil over and make it be productive for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be about the Father's business, sowing seed that will produce abundant harvest. See, Jesus is coming one day, and he's coming for a harvest. He's coming to harvest his own. And Jesus would like to have a big harvest. And it's going to be up to us, the size of the harvest that comes out of the Porter area. You people, we people, Porter Church, we are the ones that need to plow and sow and reap and have a harvest for the God, for the Lord God when he comes. That's our duty as a church. We must be about the Father's business. My friends, we're going to have, if we're going to have an harvest for the Lord's coming, what we must do? We must put our hand to the plow.
Let's stand together and sing the first verse. And so I look around here, we see all these Christians and so forth. And maybe you want to make a dedication today that you want to grab that plow and go to work for the Lord so we'll have a good harvest. You might want to take a stand on that. Rededicate your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do, if you have any need in your life, come. As we sing the first verse only.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, the beginning of a new year. I hope that this year will be the greatest year ever experienced in your life. Great things, good things come your way that you never even expected because you seek Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and you're following him. Amen. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Porter Church. We thank you for the churches across the nation and around the world. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that there will be many that today will make decisions to come and follow Jesus. That, Heavenly Father, they'll join the plowing crew, that they'll plow new ground, plant good seed, that when Jesus comes, there'll be a wonderful, wonderful harvest. And, Heavenly Father, we want to be a part of that. So help us do the works of the Lord while we're here. Heavenly Father, help us not to be neglectful. Help us, Heavenly Father, to seek out and search those and share with those, Heavenly Father, that are missing out on the wonderful things that we're enjoying because we have sought to follow Jesus and we are concentrating on the things that he has asked us to do. Help us to continue to do them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.